Well, thank you very much, Pastor John. We really appreciate it. We feel incredibly blessed to be able to be up here today and share with you what God has put on our hearts to share with folks over the next couple years while we're on the road. And we God is so sweet in the way he orchestrates things, because as he said, we just showed up last week on a Sunday, and it just so happens that the evening that we get to speak, he's preaching on the thing that we talk about and that we will be talking about for the next 2 years, which is love. And that's true love, the love that only God can give, and that love that brings hope. The hope that that we all know so well, but so many people have not experienced. And so we hope tonight that you can walk away from here feeling more educated about an injustice that is happening right in your own backyard. And then also walk away feeling like it's not hopeless, but we do have hope, and that every single person in this room, everyone, could do something starting tomorrow to help fight this social injustice that God cares very much, very deeply about. So many thanks to you guys for welcoming us with open arms. You know, when we go into churches, we have no idea what it's going to be like. So I'm the emotional one in the family. I take this very seriously, what we're doing. And so I can't thank you enough for welcoming my kids and us with open arms. We have been treated like family since the second we got here. And I can't thank you enough, so thank you very much.
You made sure you're on green.
Oh, green, see? Yes. I don't have the go, and I started talking. There we go. Green light means go. Now you can hear me better. Sorry about that. I have the PE voice, though, as a teacher, so probably loud enough. She, on the other hand, is not quite as loud as I am. So with that being said, we're going to share with you, we're going to paint a picture and talk to you about human trafficking globally, domestically, and then locally. Tell you where it is, and then how it's happening, so you guys can see what is going on behind the scenes in this dark underbelly of America. And then we're going to show you what you can do about it. And then we'll start off right away with our story and how we got on this crazy adventure that our family is on for the next couple years. So with that, I'll open it up with prayer real quick, and I'll let Kay then take over. Jesus, thank you so much for this evening, for this opportunity, for bringing us together for a great church family that is so kind and so loving. And Lord, I just pray that you speak through Kay and I tonight. In the end, this is all about your glory. Mm-hmm. We want nothing more than for you to be glorified in the work that we're doing. So I pray this building, this room is filled with your Holy Spirit this evening, mm-hmm. and that you can stir up a holy discontent in your children, and that more children that are slaves can be saved because of that. And I pray this in your holy name. Amen.
Amen. Well, like you said, thanks for having us. The information tonight that we're going to present isn't easy to talk about, but we just want to commend you for being willing to come and listen, and for the youth in the room. It's really important that you know what's happening out there so we can be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. People always want to know quickly. I'll tell you our backstory. I'm really echoing. Is that okay? Can you hear me okay? Okay. I really want to know our backstory. How did we come to this point as a family? So I'll tell you a little bit about that and then dive into some human trafficking training and education. 5 years ago, I sometimes struggle with insomnia. And 5 years ago, I had one of those nights where I just couldn't sleep. So I got up to watch some television, and a movie was playing. This movie was about human trafficking. This girl was a sex slave, and her dad was looking to rescue her. It was not taken, but similar to that. I was horrified. I thought, who thinks of this as entertainment? How is this the plot to a movie? But I wanted to finish through to see if the girl got rescued, and so I finished through to the end of it, and the movie was followed by a documentary. And that documentary was on the realities of the modern-day slave industry. And I was ruined by that information. My daughter was 5 at the time, and all I could do was picture her in situations like that. We have 3 children. Connor's 13, almost 14 on Saturday, actually. Renee is almost 11, and Caden is 8. And I could just picture Renee in situations like this. I was ruined. I didn't know that slavery still existed in America. I didn't know that slaves looked like children. I didn't know children were being sold for sex. And it broke my heart. In fact, I cried a lot, just physically ill. then there was this turning point in my spirit where that sorrow turned to anger. And I do believe that that anger is a righteous anger. I believe that the Bible says that God's throne is established on righteousness and justice. And so when he gives us his spirit in our lives as believers, then our lives become bent on righteousness and justice. It's why when you are met with social injustices, they don't settle well, right? We get fiery about certain things. And I believe that God gives a righteous anger to all of us a little bit differently. We're going to talk more about just really tapping into that holy discontent for the things that break God's heart that you have specifically, and how plugging into those can actually affect human trafficking. So I asked the Lord, what would you have me do? And he said, you can speak, you can teach. So start with that. And so we began to educate ourselves. I talked a lot to Sean. He eventually picked up the cause with me. Together we joined local nonprofits that have outreach and awareness committees. We were just really passionate about bringing education to people like me who really had no clue that this was happening. And then hopefully we would be able to inspire people to do something about it. And coupled with that desire to see people physically and spiritually free was the desire to raise three kids to love God, heart, mind, and soul. And to battle entitlement in America and first world luxuries, that's a real thing, right, parents? I mean, to really get our kids to understand the difference between need and want, and to see brokenness and not judge it, that was a strong desire of ours. So we felt the call to missions. We didn't know exactly what that was going to look like. We thought third world, and so we did pursue that for a while. We thought we'd go to a third world country, show our kids, you know, real poverty, and fight human trafficking. But God had different plans for us. And I guess we tell you this story because somewhere along the way, there's pieces of it that resonate with you, whether it's having that righteous anger and for a cause and you don't know exactly what to do with it, or a burden to really raise children to love Jesus, or just really wanting to do something more. And I just think it really is those baby steps of obedience. It's doing the next thing that God has for us. And eventually, as you walk through those open doors and you do what's right with the margin that you have in your life, God creates and shows you his ways. And many are the man's plans, but the Lord determines his steps. And so God did redirect our hearts to do missions a little bit unconventionally. And so this is what missions for us looks like. This is our home. We come from Minneapolis, but we sold our home in Minnesota. We sold everything in it, and we bought this fifth wheel. We are committed to 2 years on the road, traveling and bringing awareness to human trafficking, primarily to sex trafficking. And we'll talk more about there are differences within the slave industry. But so we'll be traveling, and I think Sean's got the map next. Mm-hmm. Is that the deal?
Yeah, so if you take a look at that, this map comes from an organization called Polaris Project, and this infrared map shows you where human trafficking is the worst in the United States. So where it's the darkest red is where it's the worst. And obviously, you can see quite a few places, a lot of them coastal communities, but we really based our map on where we're going and where we'll be spending our time on this map. However, before I go into that, I wanted to show you just a close-up shot of Indiana. All right. So if you look at this map, right in the center there is Indianapolis. Just north, there's a red spot. In the upper left-hand corner, all that red is covering Gary, Indiana, which is how far from here? Yeah, 30 minutes. And then right up past Valparaiso is Michigan City. So I share this to point out the fact that this is very relevant to your lives. What is happening in your city is affecting you. It may not be directly, but it is indirectly affecting all of us, which is why this information is so important to get into our minds and then out our mouths to all the people that we know to hopefully help save children from more exploitation. So this is our map for the next 2 years. Right now, our plan is to spend about 4 weeks in each of these communities, all right? Now, that is all the plan that we thought God gave us originally. So if he says, we want you to leave here after a week, it's not safe, we're going to get out. Or you need to stay here for an extra 4 weeks, we'll stay there. But based on that infrared map that you just saw, we're going to be stopping in the cities, the darkest parts of America, where human trafficking is at its highest, where it's the worst. That not to say that it's not happening everywhere else that we're not going. because it absolutely is. So, our mission, as you can see there, about Love to Hope is to authentically love people through acts of service and education to the true hope found in Jesus. And that logo right there, the Love to Hope logo that you see, that actually came from our 7-year-old at the time, Caden, which some of you have met. He's the best marketer a family could ask for. That little guy will carry a brochure around and hand it to anybody and say, can I tell you about? And we were watching a family devotional one night on Right Now Media by Max Licato, called Made to Make a Difference. And it was kids doing great things for God around the world. And at the end of it, he said, if I were to name a ministry, I'd call it Love to Hope. And we just looked at each other. It still gives me the Holy Ghost bumps when I think about it, because this little 7-year-old put together what we feel was absolutely perfect to define what we're trying to do and what we need to be doing as the church, which is to truly love people in their sin, but not leave them in their sin, to love them out of their sin, to the hope that only Jesus can provide. And when we have that hope, we can't help but what? Want to love other people. And so it's a concept of multiplicity. One leads to the other that leads to the other that leads to the other. And out of the mouth of a 7-year-old, I just think it's beautiful. So our theme verse, which I absolutely love, comes from Hebrews. And you can see, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. For God can be trusted to keep his promise. The second part I really love. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And so that is one of our biggest prayers as we come into these events, these meetings, is that we hope to inspire other people to acts of love and good works. What does that mean for you guys tonight? That means going outside these walls, outside our comfort zone, this safe blanket that we have in our church walls, and going into the community where there's so much hurt and there's so much oppression, and getting uncomfortable in case, as we like to tell our kids, to do hard things. And it's for adults too, to do hard things, and show that love that the pastor talked about this morning, to demonstrate it by getting out and serving together. And then what do? We motivate other people to do the same thing. It's, mm-hmm. It's a beautiful thing to see. So Kay's going to move into trafficking and kind of define it, and then we'll get into the details in just a moment here.
Yeah, all right. So let's just break down to the basics. We know that in a room this size, some of you might know quite a bit about human trafficking, and some of you might be like me 5 years ago, where this is just really ground-shaking for you. So we're going to start at the basics so we can be on the same page. And of course, as we open our speaking opportunities to different audiences, we can delve into a lot of this further. So if you go to our website, you can find out different areas that we speak on regarding human trafficking. But this is going to be sort of your base level tonight to make you understand how it happens. So let's define it. The recruitment, harboring, transportation, provision, or obtaining of a person for the purpose of labor, services, or a commercial sex act through the use of force, fraud, or coercion. There are two main types of human trafficking. There's labor trafficking, and there's sex trafficking. We do offer courses on labor trafficking and conscious consumerism. It's really important that we understand who's making the products that we eat, that we wear, and are we being conscious of the labels that we're purchasing. Some of the things that we've decided to do in our family when it comes to just decreasing the amount of slaves that we have working for us is that we buy fair trade whenever we can. So we buy fair trade coffee and fair trade teas, fair trade chocolates, and those are fair trade sugars. Those are fairly easy to find, a little bit more expensive, but not break the bank expensive. And I was just so excited when we came into town and saw Aldi. I love Aldi, so I was so happy it was here. But they offer a lot of fair trade goods, so there's a great place to start at a good price. And then we also buy secondhand for our clothing whenever possible. I've been doing that since I was little, coming from a family of 6 kids. We just did that because financially that's what we did. But it has become sort of a life choice decision for me to buy secondhand so that we are decreasing our slavery footprint. So those are just some quick things, but we can talk more about that at another workshop. Sex trafficking is what Sean and I are trained in. We are ambassadors of hope through an organization called Shared Hope International that deals domestically and internationally with sex trafficking. They do a lot in legislation as well. and they offered a course for us to apply to become ambassadors, and that's where a lot of our education curriculum statistics come from. So sex trafficking occurs when a commercial sex act is induced by force, fraud, or coercion, or in which the person induced to perform such an act has not attained 18 years of age. In other words, there is no such thing as a child prostitute. Okay? Anybody under the age of 18 that is being forced to perform any sexual act in exchange for anything, whether it be monetarily or sometimes there's just survival sex where they're exchanging sex for basic needs, especially our homeless teens, that is trafficking. Undermining minor stripping is trafficking, okay? And a lot of our porn in America today is produced by slaves, lots of minors, and that is sex trafficking. So those are things to really be informed of.
All right, to paint a picture, some key statistics that we like to share with folks, the first one being the fact that there are so many slaves. You see that big, big number up there. I'm standing right in front so you can see it. Over 30 million slaves. And I, like a lot of other people that I've spoken with, thought, you know, slavery was abolished a long time ago. And that number actually tells us now that there are more slaves today in this time that we live in than there were when it was legal. Let me say that again. There are more slaves today than there were when slavery was actually legal. That's really hard to believe considering the comfortable lives that we all live, that there are that many slaves out there, but this is absolutely a true statistic, and this number is probably lower than it actually is. So every number we give to you tonight in regards to statistics, we try and err on the side of low, because everything we know, there's also things you don't know. And so there's a lot that we don't know as well. So 30 million, big, big number. Now, in regards to direct sexual exploitation, just under 5 million slaves in the world, many of them children. And we're talking children as young as 6, 5 years old in America, but especially over in India, places Thailand, Cambodia, where it's actually tourism, sex tourism. People come in, they get off the plane and go into the streets, and they can name their age, what they're looking for, and the kids are literally standing on the street selling themselves because they have to. And so there are many, many, and most people don't realize that there are so many right here in our own neighborhoods, and we'll get into why in just a moment. Now, here's the big kicker. It's about money. It's a $150 billion industry worldwide, and if you look at just this money in the U.S., it shows you that it's over $30 billion, and here's why. It is just behind the sale of illegal drugs in America, and it's ahead of the sale of illegal firearms. And that's because when you sell drugs or you sell guns, you have to replace your product every single time you sell it. But if I own a stable of girls, 5 girls in my stable, I can sell them day after day, week after week, 365 days a year, 12 to 20 times a day. And the average I make on each girl that I own that's in my stable is about $150,000 a year. So if I own 5 girls in my stable, you do the math. $750,000 a year. So that is a very nice number for people that are looking and willing to do illegal activities and exploit children. And they are looking. They are predators that are out there, and they're predators mainly that are online getting into our homes and talking to our youth in disguise. And that's why we really need to be looking out for the wolf in sheep's clothing all the time, okay? Now, children specifically under the age of 18 years old, 100 to 300,000 are being exploited in the U.S. alone each year. Err on the side of the higher number, 300,000 easily, okay? So we're going to start. I see people starting to squirm actually a little bit. And so this is where I just want to say, take a deep breath. Let's all take a deep breath. And exhale. Because the information that we're about to go into is very dark and heavy. Okay? But it's information that is so needed to be said and so needed to be heard and done something about. We have to do something about this. So we do want to prepare you. The pastor did mention that it's not fun stuff that we're talking about today. He was saying it lightly. We're about to go into information that is quite heavy. So just prepare yourself mentally for that and know that God wants to do something with it. Okay? This is about Him. Now, this really startled me, and what really got me is the average age is 13 years old. Now, that, if you look at a bell curve, 13's at the top. So in America, 13's average. So it goes 14, 15, 16, 17, but there's also the other side of that bell curve that goes down to 12, 11, 10, and 9. And we're about to show you a video, and they'll talk a little bit more about that. But the next slide is the how-to. And this is... Oops, is the video next?
It wasn't supposed to
Okay, so I'll just go back.
You maybe hit it? Did you hit it?
No, we moved it. So coercion and abduction. All right. We've given this information and this type of talk for like 6 months, but we moved a bunch of the slides tonight, so forgive us. We wanted to put it in a different order and say a few different things for this particular audience that we have. Now, the difference between abduction and coercion. So there's gorilla pimps that will just literally snatch a child, a girl, off the streets, and throw them right into the last of the stages, which is complete control, where they break them down and make them do whatever it is that they want. And then there's the coercion side, which can take anywhere from weeks to a year to groom a girl or a boy, but usually girls, to become a slave for them and become under their control and do everything that they ask them to do. So the first thing is the target. So where do the pimps go? Where are they hanging out? You really need to pay attention to this, and you guys are the hope in your schools to share this information, because the amount of peer-to-peer recruitment that's happening is at an all-time high, which means pimps are hiring high school boys to swoon the younger girls and be that knight in shining armor, that older boyfriend to show them love for one reason and one reason only, and that is to end up selling them. Okay, and this is happening over and over and over again. And just under 11 months ago, actually, SAFE, which is a national organization and runs out of just on the border, not Gary, but another town, right here in Indiana, she came in and spoke to the Michigan City High School students. And she said there were just under 36 girls that came up to her after her talk last October and said they were either being groomed or they are being sold. In Michigan City, in your own high school. So this is important information for you guys to understand, and I'm so glad that you guys are here, the youth especially, because you need to know it and you need to share this information. So targets, where are they? Where are the predators? They're online, absolutely. They're disguising themselves as friends that are younger, possibly, or older boyfriends. They're in the parks, they're at the malls, they're in the coffee shops. They are wherever youth hang out. And they are very strategic, because all this information I'm sharing with you, you can buy a book online on how to be a pimp. And it will give you detailed instructions how to do everything that we're explaining you tonight, to you tonight. And so to know this information just helps you put up that extra filter to help to protect your children, your grandchildren, your friends, and yourself. Okay? So they're everywhere. They find their target. And then they go into grooming. So it's typically the older boyfriend that comes in and swoons the younger girl, okay? And she thinks he loves her, and therefore she falls in love with him. And some things that start to happen in the grooming process, he will start to buy her gifts, things that make her feel good. And he will start to try and change her language, because his whole strategy is to train her to act and talk and look like the buyers want in the end. She doesn't know that this manipulation is happening, but this is what he's doing in the process. So he's teaching her to talk dirty, okay? They're typically sexually active by now and watching pornography for that purpose, or he's just watching it with her because he's educating her so she knows how she's supposed to look and act when she starts to sell herself. Or when she's being sold. She will get a new name, typically a pet name, Candy or Star. That will be the name that she's eventually sold by on some of the websites that people can go to order up the girls to have delivered right to them. Okay? And then lastly, he will start to change her appearance. Now, not physical appearance, but how she looks, makeup, how she wears her hair, her clothing, jewelry. He'll want her to dress a little bit more provocatively. And so he's setting the stage to move into these next three steps that Kay is then going to talk about. Isolation is next.
Well, just in any domestic violence situation, you know, there's some isolation that takes place. So remember that this girl is young, and this is an older boyfriend figure. and he has swooned her. He has become her. Nobody understands how much he loves her. She's not listening to anybody that might be throwing out some, you know, red flags there. And so she has bought hook, line, and sinker that he loves her and she loves him. And so he begins to isolate her from friends and family. He begins to control her cell phone, her free time. And she typically doesn't mind. Remember, we're on the coercion side of all of this. If this were an abduction side we were walking you through, it'd look a lot different. She typically doesn't mind because she loves him. And eventually, all of her free time is taken up with this man. And at some point in the relationship, there comes transition. Transition happens when he says something like, they take a trip maybe. And he says something like, we are out of money, and I've done a lot for you, and if you really loved me, you would. Strip at this club, sleep with my friend, whatever it is, we'd have a little extra money, and we'd be good to go. And because she loves him, she complies. That's a point of transition, and that's a point of transition in the pimp's mind. Now he has property, and he begins to control. And that is ultimately every pimp's goal, is to get to the control phase, where he is controlling every dollar the girl brings in, every amount of free time the girl has. The control phase is horrifying. If we were on the abduction side of things, he would go from abduction straight to control. The control side is when the gang rape happens. It's when deprivation of food and sleep. It's when he says to her, I will... If you need to bring home $800 tonight, if you don't, I'm going to beat your friend, which he follows through on, or beats her. It is a horrifying process. We've read a lot of awful stories. They are taught not to trust law enforcement. In fact, part of the control phase, the girls can be gang raped by men dressed in police uniforms. There is no safety. Everything is designed to break her down. The psychological and physical manipulation taking place in this is horrible. We don't have time to really go into what happens to the subconscious and to the psyche, but a lot of people will say, why don't they get help? Why don't they just tell somebody? Why don't they just leave? And I can tell you that this phase, they do not see a way out. They do not see a way out, and they are afraid for their lives. And we are going to just play quickly a 4-minute video for you. It's put out by Shared Hope International that will help to educate a little bit further.
Across the globe, children are victims of sex trafficking, sold to meet a demand for sexual services. This horrific crime happens right here in the United States. And each year, thousands of America's children are lured into sexual slavery.
It was the things that he said were things that I've never felt before. I was actually felt like I was loved by somebody for the first time. And I put all of my trust and all of my faith in him. And the way that he got me was he told me, let's go for a ride. I gotta pick something up in Indianapolis. And he said we were coming back that night. So I drove with them out to Indianapolis, and when we got out there, that's when he told me we were going back.
Those who profit from this form of modern-day slavery do not discriminate, and the victim can be anyone's child. In the United States, the average age of recruitment is 13 years old.
When I turned 12 years old, I started street prostitution. I had a pimp.
We're all under 18. We're all the same age. There would be a few girls that I knew that were like in their 20s or whatever, but they had been doing it since they were our age anyways. I did wait till 12, and these girls were doing it since they were like 8 or 9, and now they're like 23.
Do you know how many people get kidnapped? You know, most of our clients have been kidnapped many times by pimps. I was thrown, you know, in a car kidnapped by a pimp before too. If they see you, they don't think you're with someone or they don't know that person. They kidnap you and they beat you and they force you to go with them. And that's so. They sell you to other ones. So the same things that happen overseas happens here. And we need to understand that.
It's not always just the poor kids. A lot of times it's the really rich kids, and you're like, what are you doing out here? And it's because their mom and dad are never home. They don't care about them.
Young victims are beaten, raped, and held in physical and psychological bondage. Fearing for their lives, they are often too terrified to run away.
He would beat me with broomsticks, candles. He would burn me with candles. He would take metal hangers and beat me with them, poke me with them, belts, anything that he could get his hands on, he would beat me with. The one time he had beat me so bad that he had ruptured my spleen and put me in the intensive care unit. So it's like, once you knew that he could almost kill you, you'd rather do what he says than to get beat again.
Shared Hope's human rights investigators have uncovered an underground market for America's youth, a market that is driven by demand.
You pay the price, you get what you want, I can get it for you.
Really?
Now, if you want something ready to go, that $200 just cost a little more than that.
Sure.
How old are you talking? Talk to me.
Well, how young do you have?
Well, I don't have nothing younger than 14.
Okay, now 14 is good.
Okay.
Yeah, that'd be great.
So the girls over there cost two, is that?
That's the women.
The women.
Now, if I told you two, and you know you want something younger, I'll tell you to add something to it. Just tell me, you just pick a figure to that.
Well, I guess, what, three?
Three. If you do three, you got it.
Our children are being sold day after day like product, all to meet the demand for paid sex.
I want to show them and tell them, like, what it would feel like to be that hoe, to be degraded all the time, to be hit on, to be manipulated, to be sold all day, every day. Who was there to stop it? Nobody was there to stop it.
Sobering stuff, right? The information tonight, it's not easy to listen to. In fact, it seems a little bit overwhelming. It seems like, what? If this is all happening, it's a billion-dollar industry? How can I do anything about it? What am I supposed to do about that? And it is easy, as believers, to bubble ourselves off, right? And say, I don't want to look that. I don't want to listen at that. But I would just remind you, that's the very reason Jesus came, right? The Bible says, I came to seek and to save those who are lost. And so when we come across issues like this that are disturbing to us, it's really important to us to go back to the Father and remember, one, he's not surprised. Right? This isn't a shock. This isn't out of his control or breadth of knowledge. But he's given us his spirit of righteousness and justice so that we can bring that to people. So what would we do? Hopefully you see an issue like this and you think, well, not on my watch. I've got to do something. I've got to do something about that. And I think it's important to go to scripture, and find out what does God say? So in Isaiah 58. The Lord's sort of scolding a little bit, right? People are saying, but we did all this fasting and Isaiah 58, starting in verse 6, he says, do you think that's what's going to please the Lord? No, this is the kind of fasting that I want. Free those who are wrongly imprisoned. Lighten the burden of those who work for you. Let the oppressed go free and remove the chains that bind people. Share your food with the hungry. Give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those who need them. Don't hide from relatives who need your help. Then your salvation will come like the dawn and your wounds will quickly heal. Your godliness will lead you forward and the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. Then when you call, the Lord will answer, yes, I am here. He will quickly reply. I love that verse because what is that? What does the Lord say? The kind of fasting and ceremonies and sacrifices that he wants from us. This is just exactly what we were taught this morning. It's love, right? It's love. It's that action. And when you look at this passage, you see lots of social injustice issues that God is having us address, not just human trafficking. I mean, right in there, he's talking about, you know, the injustice, in people being imprisoned. It's talking about, poverty, food with the hungry, homelessness, don't hide from relatives who need your help. So there's the breakdown of the family. So God is aware of our social, you know, justice issues. And he's saying, this is what it looks like to love me and to serve me. It's whatever you do for the least of these, you do it for me. The Bible also says in Isaiah 1, verse 17, learn to do good, seek justice, help the oppressed, defend the cause of orphans, fight for the rights of widows, and don't withhold good when it's in your power to help. That comes from Proverbs. God, you know, I hear these stories of these girls. We study them a lot. We read a lot. And they bought a lie, right? They bought a lie, and they got ensnared, and they got trapped. And I think, isn't that Satan's way with people? From the very beginning, he's the father of lies. And he tells us lies and we buy them and we get caught up in our sin and we're in bondage and enslaved to our sin. And don't you just marvel at a holy God that says, I see you, I hear you, I came to seek you, I came to save you, I'm near to the brokenhearted. There's one more passage in Psalms, Psalm 72, verses 12 through 14. He will rescue the poor when they cry to him. He will help the oppressed who have no one to defend them. He feels pity for the weak and the needy, and he will rescue them. He will redeem them from oppression and violence, for their lives are precious to him. Those girls' lives are precious to God. And they need to be precious to us. I often think, how is it that the traffickers and the pimps can see the vulnerable? How can they see them so well? They know exactly what to look for. They find them and they swoop in there with their exploitive, you know, motives. And I think, how is it that we are missing them? We need to see the vulnerable first. And swoop in there with the love and hope of Jesus. That's why Sean and I are so passionate about bringing awareness to this topic, because it's prevention education. It's just peeling away a little bit the layers so that we have eyes to see people in a different light, and to see them as Jesus sees them, and to find the vulnerable in our life and step into their lives. Step into the vulnerable teens at the school. Step into the vulnerable youth around you and breathe that positive into people, remind them that they're valuable and that they're loved, and point them to hope. It's so important. That's what the Christian life is all about. Colossians 3:13 says, he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. We were all slaves once, slaves to sin. And because of Jesus Christ, we've been set free. And the Bible says in Galatians, use your freedom to serve one another in love. It is for freedom you've been set free. Use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the entire law can be summed up with one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. This morning I was looking at all these maps on the walls and the missionaries, and I thought, that's just so beautiful. And then I thought, where's the little map of Michigan City and all your faces? Because that is what we're about, right? Michigan City and the youth there, we're the missionaries. We're the hope outside those doors to bring Jesus into a dark world. And I just think it's so important that we remember, no one has ever seen God, 1 John says. But if we love each other, God's love lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in our lives. Church, as long as God is on his throne, and his people are on the ground, there's hope. Always. Amen. And so it's really important that we remember that. God doesn't want us to look away and cushion ourselves off so much from the broken, dark things of the world that we are not being the light. How can we be the light in a dark world? if we first don't know and then we don't go. And so we're going to give you some practical ways that you can be a light in this issue, but also just ask you that you would just reflect on what stirs your blood when it comes to social justice issues, because they are interconnected, and we're going to talk about that too. How interconnected is poverty and homelessness and drug addictions and domestic violence? How interconnected are those things to human trafficking? Very. They feed it. And so there's something that riles you up that's put there by the righteous God for you to do something about. This is my favorite verse right now. Matthew 12:20. He will cause justice to be victorious, and his name will be the hope of all the world. That's a sweet thing. So as dark as the issue of trafficking is, there's hope as long as God is on his throne and his people are on the ground. So,
Yeah, so we promised you that we would give you some takeaways on what you can do if you feel moved to want to do something, whether it's directly against human trafficking or for the awareness of it, or if it's for one of the other social justice issues that Kay mentioned, whether that's the homeless youth, or it's homeless veterans, or it's the broken foster care system that's out there, or it's the domestic violence, the abused women. There are so many that directly feed human trafficking. We want to make sure that you guys walk out of here with something that you can know so that you can be there. At the end of the video, remember the question that it asked? Did any of you remember that one? Will you be there? Yep. Will you be there? And the good news is that we all can be there. We just have to make the choice to be there, to take that next step of obedience if God is tugging on your heart to want to do something more. There are many different things you can do. So, number one, get educated about it. We would love to point you in the direction. If you want to learn more online about human trafficking, first go to Shared Hope International. It's a free Ambassador of Hope training program. It's an online training program that you can personally go through, and you can be given so much great information. So keep educating. There are many documentaries you can watch on TV. There are many different books you can read, and we can actually give you recommendations if you just shoot us an email, messages through our website, lovetohope.com. We would love to give you that type of material.
I would add that our website has a link for resources, and one of them is Learn, and we've linked tons of information and sites to go to for you to further educate yourself on the issue.
Yeah, one of the ones that we really like, International Justice Mission, they just last Sunday had a global initiative called Freedom Sunday, where everyone across the globe that felt the way we feel about this injustice just shouted from the rooftops, that this is here, this is a problem, and we can do something about it. And they have fantastic resources that you can go to as well. So that and many others right on the site. Now, report what you see. So there have been a handful already in just the little time that Kay and I have been presenting that we've gotten phone calls or messages saying, I saw something. This is what I saw. An executive at a YMCA, a good colleague and friend of mine, Derek, he went to a minor league game in St. Paul, and he said he was walking out with his family, and he knew that what his eyes saw was human trafficking, but he froze. I didn't know what to do at the time. Initially, right, he wants to protect his family, protect his children. But he said, Sean, I never would have noticed it. I never would have given a second thought what pulled up in front of me had I not listened to what you said. So having those eyes to see, and then this is a phone number that we should all have programmed in our phone. If you have a phone with you now, absolutely give you permission to put this number in there. And if you see something that doesn't look right, you can absolutely give this number a call. And they will walk you through. Kay has personally called. We served the homeless in downtown Minneapolis with a great organization called Breakthrough Ministries. And a girl came in, and all the signs were there. And she followed her into the bathroom, and she started asking her questions. Unfortunately, she was very closed, which is very typical. So you have to be careful what you choose to do and what questions you ask, because you can actually harm them. If you're not careful, I mean, you don't know what to do or what to say. And she walked out of the room, and there were three men standing there. and they took her away. But Kay instantly called the hotline, that number, and got on the phone, and they directed the steps. So things like, do you know where they're going? If they're getting on the train, what's the next stop on the train? What do they look like? Did they say where they were from? Did they say they felt safe? Those types of things. And you can get all that in training.
We did not have time tonight to go through all the warning signs and what to look for. But we do that in other presentations. And we do tonight have a card on the back of our table that you can take with you. Mm-hmm. So what do you look for? What do you look for students in the schools that your peers may be doing or saying? And what do you do once you think you have a warning sign? That is on our table in the back.
Absolutely. So we have been doing our homework right here in Michigan City and in the greater Chicago area, really. For whatever reason, God wanted us here when we to settle and park our motorhome, even though Chicago was supposed to be our main focus, we thought. We are finding that, well, everywhere we go, there's work to be done. And as we're doing our research, there's so much work that needs to be done right here in Michigan City. So here are just a couple of organizations that you can reach out to. You can make a phone call tomorrow and say, what can I do to volunteer to help? And they will point you in the direction and they will take your help. So Sandcastle Shelter for Children and Families is one of them that's not far, just down the road on Franklin, right? Because once you go north past a certain road, it's no longer 421. I just found that out. Okay, I'm learning that road very well. Grace Learning Center, Salvation Army, our family just went. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, you guys, they need people to work in their food pantry for a couple of hours. It's really easy. They bring people in. They sit down with them, talk to them about what they need. They pack some bags. And then they pull up in their car, and you get to go and say, I love you, and hand them this food. And to see the look on their faces when you do something that's so simple in our eyes, it means the world to them, okay?
And homelessness is a huge contributing factor to human trafficking. So when we're stepping into these sort of spokes on the wheel, when we're stepping into those organizations and making a difference, we are impacting trafficking. Do you know that within 48 hours of a teen becoming homeless, they're approached by a pimp? 48 hours. They have nothing, and so they sell themselves so that they can have food and a roof over their head. Okay, so it's a huge problem. When we step in and we decrease the demand, or we decrease homelessness or help, give them those basic things, then they don't need to sell themselves to get them. So another way it fits together.
The basement of the Salvation Army actually has 6 beds for homeless men. And there's women's shelters as well right here in Michigan City. And they need people to feed them, to serve. Yes.
Yeah, well, there you can certainly call 911, but you have to. A sad thing is that our police are not always educated on human trafficking, nor do they have a human trafficking division. So there are not necessarily what needs to happen within the law enforcement to get them safe. Now, Minnesota has a safe harbor law, so that if a girl is being trafficked, then she is not arrested as a juvenile for prostitution, but she processes a victim. That's not from state to state to state. So while we want to rescue them, we also don't want to treat them as criminals while their buyers or their pimps end up free. So a lot of things need to change in the law system, which isn't to say that it's bad. They can come in and hopefully fix the situation. But it's almost better at this point to call the National Trafficking Hotline number and let them direct you to the direct lines in your area that can actually deal with the issue.
They know. So there are very few cities that have trafficking, anti-trafficking divisions. Fortunately, Cook County in Chicago, they do have a really great anti-trafficking division. Mm-hmm. They may or may not be working with them, but the hotline would know. if you guys do have an anti-trafficking division in this area, and they would then direct you.
It's your best
resource
to call first.
That's
unless
a really
you
great
think
question.
This person is an immediate, I mean, if you, see, the thing is, if you can see, like, physical abuse taking place, or you witnessed a rape, that's completely different. You need to call 911. But if you suspect trafficking, police have to have, almost have to have intercepted an actual thing taking place before the arrest can be made.
Can I say something quick?
Yeah.
As somebody who's had to call authorities different times, one of the difficulties you have is to present something actionable. Mm-hmm. If you call 911, they don't really want to spend time helping you sort out what you see. Okay? And I've seen people not say something because they weren't quite sure if it was up to the level to call. And I think the advantage that you have here is something that says, call first, we'll figure out after you call. I think you're like me. You don't want to tie up 911 with just a suspicion or something like that. At the same time, when you see something definite, sure you ought to call.
If it's a strong suspicion.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's a problem, John. How strong? You know, I've been here, I've had people that I've helped that called police and didn't get help. And I don't know how to say it, but someone called a police officer, came out and gave them completely wrong information. And it's only because I heard about it several weeks later, and because I had contact, you know, my friend with the state police, that I called there, and then within a half hour I had a state police detective calling me. They were going to the police that gave the wrong information, because in the state of Indiana, the state police have jurisdiction over all local police. But the family had no idea where to go once it's there. And so I want the balance, certainly. But I don't know. I've been in a position where I wanted to call Trail Creek Police, and I'm going, does this really rise to the level of calling 911? You know, and they got another number you can call, but it's just, this is kind of a much lower level of your looking at it. You can start with this, and it's gonna go on. Mm-hmm. But like you say, if you know that it's a crime, then you call. Mm-hmm.
Great. Thanks for adding that. Do appreciate it. A couple more opportunities. There's only two particular home safe houses in the greater Chicago area that the trafficking division that police will send girls to. One of them happens to be Naomi's house that's part of Moody Church. And so I know it's not close to here. However, if you did want to get involved with the restoration piece, there's awareness, there's rescue, and there's restoration. There's three prongs to human trafficking. Okay, Kay and I are all about awareness. We believe that's prevention, education, but we have so much need over here on the rescue and restoration piece. And Naomi's house, I've called and talked directly to the director for well over an hour on the phone. Amazing organization what they have running over there. So another one, Shared Hope International has Faith in Action kits. So if your church or someone here feels spurred to lead a small group Bible study for a few weeks, you can go to Shared Hope and get the Faith in Action kit, order it, and you can actually run through it with a small group of people right here in the church if you feel led to volunteer and be a leader for that type of group. And it goes on and on and on, and obviously we don't have enough time to go on and on and on. So if you do want to talk further about that type of stuff, you can absolutely give us a call. Our cards are on the back table with our phone number and email and whatnot on there. Question?
Just another observation. I was with the Pregnancy Care Center for over a decade, and 20 years ago, as chairman of the board, our director had three gals within the previous year and a half that she said, these are girls in human trafficking, 20 years ago in Niles, Michigan. So it's been out there for a while, and the Pregnancy Care Centers are beyond torn. They're at the spot where they are very quick and ready to be able to also offer some of these connections. So that's another avenue for help as well.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. If you guys feel led and are inspired at all and do want to help us out, one of the best ways you can help us is to connect us with an audience. Obviously, we're only here for 3 more weeks, so that doesn't give us a ton of time unless you have room on your schedule or the person that we get connected with does. However, when we're traveling, if you sign up for our newsletter, we tell you where we're going. For example, our next stop is going to be the Richmond, Virginia area. And then next winter, we'll be down in Florida and then in Atlanta. And so as we travel, if you have connections in those areas, and now that you've heard who we are and heard us speak, know what we're talking about, and you can connect us, that helps significantly more than me picking up the phone and doing a cold call. Because credibility helps significantly. So, and in regards to who we talk to, MOPS groups, men's groups, women's groups, Bible studies, small groups, churches, healthcare providers, police officers, mall staff, hotel staff, business, community-minded businesses, over lunch, we'll come in and do a brown bag lunch for 30 minutes in anybody's company. If you want to bring us in, there are many companies that are very, very community-minded and believe in doing something more about stuff like this. So I've talked to Rotary clubs, you name it. The list just goes on and on. So don't think that there's if you have a connection that they couldn't benefit from hearing this information, because we have found, based on the presentations we're giving, that everyone can benefit from the information we're sharing to help make a difference. So if you can connect us, that, and then if you're willing to pray for us, we covet your prayers. Obviously, what we're doing is dark, and it's heavy at times. It weighs heavy on K&I, just our emotions. Pray for our marriage, pray for our family, and impact, and that we can make an impact on who we're I'm speaking to. If you want to sign up for our newsletter, we will have the computer in the back. You can go right up to our computer and sign up for the newsletter there. If you want to be an advocate for Love to Hope, we have t-shirts that you can purchase, and Renee, our daughter, makes jewelry back there as well. So we have a ton of information you can take on the table. It's yours, and if you have more questions, we will be available afterwards. But with that, thank you very much for the time, and God bless you all for the amazing hearts and open arms that you have for people like us that you don't even know. We love you. Thank you.
They're going to make their way back, and you have an opportunity to talk more. But I just want to say to you, please don't let anybody rob you of your heritage. By that I mean this. As I look around this room, almost everyone in this room is rich in the capital that traffickers deal in, which is emotion and pretend love. You've got the real thing. And from that standpoint, I just say this. Let's all look at this week, as I talked about this morning, be an agent of God's love. You take a young person that you interact with at the drive-thru at McDonald's. Minimum wage. You don't know if it's a healthy family they're coming from, or if their entire family for generations has survived on minimum wage and their wits. And if you will engage that person just even for a brief time with the love of Christ, you don't have to hit them with the 4 spiritual laws or whatever else. When someone's waiting on you at a table, love them for Christ's sake. And I just want to say to you, you know, one of the things is get out of the culture, all right? One of the cultures we got is, well, they don't deserve fill in the blank. You remember when Jesus fed the 5,000? There was no application system for it. He told the disciples a couple of days later, they just came because I fed them. But what did he do? He fed them. And you don't know. And I say it from the standpoint, I've been in Indiana, and when I was in Pennsylvania, it's a much rougher environment. And kids in that environment react to genuine compassion. And the one that you talk to, you don't know what impact you have. and tell them that there are people who just care about you for Christ's sake. Not for what we can get from you, not for what you'll do for me, but aside from giving me my burger and fries, I care about you as a person. You remember when I wrote the newsletter a few months ago? I still haven't done it. Thinking about it, maybe somebody's got the money to make it easier. I'd like to get t-shirts printed up that said, your life matters to me. Forget Black Lives Matter. Forget Blue Lives Matter. Forget even All Lives Matter. Your life right now, as we stand here, matters to me. And you make a difference when you're willing to do that. Stand together. Let's be dismissed for prayer. Father, help us to know what it is to love. We don't know what process we may interrupt just because we walked in and we were your servant and your agent of love in someone's life. Open our eyes, Father. The opportunities are there. It's going to cost us money. It's going to cost us this time. And we're not going to have enough time to watch television. But Father, that's really the life we ought to want. I pray that you'd work in our hearts for your glory in Christ Jesus' name. And thank you so much for Sean and Kay and for sharing with us tonight. There's so much more they could have done. Father, open our hearts to all the ways that we can touch lives. We don't know what you will do with it. We just know you will. Amen. We ask it in Christ. Amen.